Yes, the blood, it is mine. is, what the Bible is, and learning about people in the Bible and all that Jesus did for us. So we're just going to do a couple of our non-active songs for y'all. Otherwise, they kind of be all over the place and mess up their Easter clothes. All right. What do we know about the Bible?
The Bible is true. The Bible is God's word.
Very good. Okay, let's get a Bible. Ready?
Life. This was
love.
And there's no greater love than what Jesus did for you and me.
Finished, Christ cried, when on Calvary he died. So it's
done.
Nothing to be added. It's finished. It's not Christ and baptism. It's not Christ and giving all of your money that you can, or Christ and doing the best you can. It's Christ alone. Mm-hmm. It was done. Jesus receives whosoever believes when they
come.
It's your choice, my choice. He doesn't force any of us. He paid the price, and we have a choice to make. Wonderful love, Jesus came from above to be
mine.
And he is. Actually, we are his. We are bought with a price. We are not our own. And we belong to him. And he is mine for how long?
Eternally.
We're going to sing a song about those four little words, and it's going to be accompanied by Dylan Pond. So here we go. Are you ready?
Thank you. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in help. This babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the depth of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
Amen.
They all walked away, nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. All that he said, now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they'd seemed. Now he was dead and gone. The guard in the jail, the cross and the nails. How could a night seem so long? Then came the morning. Night turned into day. Kings from afar, the wedding, the water, the wine. Now it was done, they'd taken her son. He died for your sins and mine. She knew it was true, she'd watched him die too. She'd heard them call him just a man. But deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow her son would live. had lost and life had won, for morning had takes a lot of doings to get the logistics on all this stuff. Now, don't y'all listen to me. Y'all get your stuff straight while I'm talking. I know what happened. They'll listen to what I'm saying instead of getting their stuff together. I was watching Paul there a while ago, and it reminded me of what I heard one time. If I was ever flying in an airplane and the plane was going to go down and I didn't have a parachute, what to do? He said, all you have to do is throw an extension cord out. Everybody looks at you funny. Well, why is that? Well, it'll hang on something before you hit the ground.
Amen.
It seems like that, doesn't it?
Amen.
That's the same way with these mic cords. It seems like they'll hang on something every time you get ready to use it. But anyway, that's really not true. But it reminded me of another thing. That's almost as bad as the lie that Satan tells people today, that they can manage to have eternal life by doing something other than trusting Christ as their Savior. There isn't no other way, folks. Amen. That's it. The only way. When Jesus was hung on the cross, one of the thieves beside him begged him. Now, he was talking to him, and he essentially was praying. He said, "Save yourself and us. Get down off this cross if you be the Son of God." Well, we know the story. Jesus didn't get down off the cross, and that thief that said that is probably in hellfire today. But the other thief said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." The fact that he acknowledged him as Lord right there told the story. That thief believed, and Jesus said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." The song we're going to do today, we can celebrate the fact that he didn't come down. That's the title of our song. Are y'all ready? 1, 2, 3. Try it again, boys. We've worked on this and worked on it. That's just the way it goes. Y'all ready?
but he stayed on the cross for you and for me.
All right, say your name and give us a testimony. Amen.
And I used to be a smoker, and I haven't smoked in a while.
Amen.
So keep praying for me.
Keep praying that that'll keep working.
And pray for me that I can get off this oxygen. I've got to go for a sleep apnea test Thursday night, and then we'll see how that goes.
Amen. All right.
Keep on praying for me.
All right. Thank you, Liz. Is that on good? That brown, you might have to pull up a little bit, JT. All right. Who else? Anyone else next?
I'm James Livingston. I just want to praise God for all he does for us. We've had some trials up and down in the last couple of years, and I just had a biopsy with, you know, they're saying it may be cancer, but, you know, I don't care. Maybe it may not be, but that's going to give me a fork in the road. But God's leading me all the way. Brother Jim and I were just talking this morning that as, you know, you get a little bit more up in years, you look back and you can see where he has guided you and held him in his precious hands your whole journey through this life. And I give thanks for all. The world may say good is or bad, it don't matter. Because if it's from God, it's good.
Amen.
My name is Kim Newton, and I'm from Powhatan, and I love it here, and I love this church, and I've been coming here for a long time, and I say praise God. He saved my soul so many years ago. I love him. I don't know where I'd be without him. I thank God for the empty tomb, for the cross. I just love him. I thank him for saving my family members. I thank him for the family members that have come before me and gone on to heaven and the heritage that they gave me. I thank God for Jesus, his son.
Amen. Amen.
Was it a morning like this, when the sun still hid from Jerusalem, and Mary rose from her bed to tend the Lord she thought was dead?
Was it a morning like this, when Mary walked down from Jerusalem, and two angels stood at the tomb, bearers of news she would hear soon?
Did the grass sing? Did the earth rejoice to feel you again? Over and over like a trumpet underground, did the earth seem to pound? He is risen. Over and over in a never-ending round, he is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.
Was it a morning like this, when Peter and John ran from Jerusalem, and as they raced toward the tomb, beneath their feet was there a tune?
Did the grass sing? Did the earth rejoice to feel you again? Over and over like a trumpet underground, did the earth seem to pound? He is risen. Over and over in a never-ending round, he is risen. Alleluia, alleluia. Over and over like a trumpet underground, did the earth seem to pound? He is risen. Over and over in a never-ending round, he is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.
was in a morning like this, when my Lord looked out on Jerusalem. He is risen, alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Amen, amen. And could it be a morning like this that he comes back? Amen. Wouldn't that be something to celebrate today? Praise the Lord. I don't know. I got a lot of stands I can choose from. I'll go with this one right here. It's tall enough. Take your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. You know, you can't separate Christmas from Easter. Jesus Christ was born to this world, the Bible says. He had to take on human flesh in order to die in our place. And so the birth of Jesus Christ is tied to Easter, where we celebrate both the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because you can't separate the death of the Lord Jesus Christ from His resurrection. You see, Jesus was born to die that we might have our sin debt paid for. But if Jesus did not rise from the grave, then we've got a problem. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 17, it says, "If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins." In other words, it was not just the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that paid for our sins, but is the fact that He rose from the dead that God the Father put His stamp of approval upon what He did as an acceptable sacrifice to totally pay for every sin that we've ever committed or ever will. And so Jesus Christ there is not still on the cross. He is not still in a grave. But praise God, He is alive evermore. Matter of fact, we're told over in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, Jesus says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." That's who He is. And then He talks in verse 18, He says, "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. And so that tells what He did. So we know who He is, we know what He did, and we have a great truth there to celebrate today. The resurrection was the completion of God's sin payment there, and Christ became the prototype, if you will, of our resurrection bodies to come. He is the first to rise from the dead, again in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them which believe." So we have here a great truth that is given to us, and I want us to consider some brief truths here about His death and His resurrection. I've entitled the message, "Famous Last Words." Father, I pray that You would help us to understand Your truth, not only just to understand it with our minds as a historical fact, but Lord, I pray that we will make a decision with our hearts to receive what You have done through Your Son, the Lord Jesus, to pay our sin debt and to give us the proof of that by having Him to rise from the dead. We thank You, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior. And we thank You for all that means to us today. And I ask Your blessing as we continue to look in Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Nathan Hale was an American hero. Captured as a spy there in New York City during the Revolutionary War, and before he was hanged, he made this statement, "I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country." And many of you, if you've studied history, have heard that and remembered that. Patrick Henry with another type of American hero there, another statement, "Give me liberty or give me death." Whether it is the literal last words of a man or whether it is just some memorial statements that are made like that, these type of phrases there greatly impacted our country, and we have just a couple hundred years that was said ago. But 2,000 years ago, almost there, we have another statement, last words. And with the first one we find there actually in the book of John, it was when Jesus was on the cross. He made several statements there as He was suffering on the cross before He died. But just before he died, his last words were, "It is finished." I spoke on that this past Wednesday night with our people that came, and I said, you know, that phrase there is actually one Greek word, finished, completed, everything that was necessary had been done, like you'd finished a project, etc. there. Everything of God's plan, everything of God's goal for him to accomplish was finished there on Calvary. He had done it all. His sufferings were over. No longer at the hand of wicked man would Jesus Christ suffer again. Not only that, but Satan's stronghold on mankind was defeated there. No longer, as we become a Christian, no longer are we under the bondage of sin. We don't have to sin anymore. We have a choice. There's a struggle now, but we're not in that bondage anymore. We've been released. And certainly it is finished when it comes to our salvation. Everything that was necessary to pay for my sin and your sin was accomplished when Jesus Christ died on Calvary. And the fact, as I said, that God the Father raised Him up was proof that it was acceptable to be a sacrifice that would satisfy a holy and just God that must demand that sin be punished. That's why Jesus had to come in the first place. God had to punish sin because He is holy and just. But because He loved us, He sent His only begotten Son, that we could have our sins forgiven, and that we could be given a new nature, and we could be given the Holy Spirit of God to dwell within us, and that we could have that transformation work done in our life, that the righteousness of Jesus Christ could be imparted to our account. That's why Jesus Christ came and He finished there. But there are some other last words that I want us to look at here in chapter 28 of Matthew. And it's actually some last words here from an angel that appears. And we'll start reading there in verse 1. Here is the resurrection account. "In the end of the Sabbath," that is Saturday, "as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Sunday, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre." And by the way, this morning, as the dawn started happening, as it started to get light outside, I was thanking, "Lord, You've already risen. And the angel is now appearing to Mary and the other ladies." And all of this is transpiring. Back then, that's when how it occurred there. As I told our people Wednesday night, we ought to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think about Friday, you think about 9 o'clock, He was nailed on the cross. At 12 o'clock, it was darkness over the earth. At 3 o'clock, it is finished. He gave up His ghost. And before 6 o'clock, P.M., He was put into the tomb. All of that, as we went through Friday, I was thinking about those things. And I hope that you do there in remembrance of that. And then Saturday, thinking, you know, He's still in the tomb today. And then this morning, praise God, He's no longer in the tomb, but He is risen. He is not there. And here we have it stated for us. Verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake when the ladies got there, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." By the way, He didn't roll back the stone so Jesus could get out. He rolled back the stone so that they could get in and see He wasn't there. He was already out. There's no stone that could keep Him inside that tomb. "His countenance," this angel's countenance, "was like lightning, bright there, and His raiment white as snow, and for fear of Him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." These are those guards that were put there to guard to make sure that nobody stole His body, and they didn't. He was already gone before this happened. "And the angel answered and said to the woman there, 'Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him. Lo, I have told you.'" And so here's this angel that appears there and rolls back the stone with the earthquake, and He sits upon the stone, and He's bright as lightning to look at there, and they listen to Him speak, and His last words pretty much summed up is this: "He is not here. He is risen, as He told you before He ever died." Jesus Christ had risen. What last words there to praise God for. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of all Christianity is in the Christian faith, He is risen then. That last statement there is the most famous words in history. We ought to understand that. because there's no other event in history that has ever affected the human race more than the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the single event in itself there, and what a great statement that we can rehearse today. If the resurrection really did happen then Jesus Christ and Christianity is everything. But if the resurrection did not happen, then Christianity is a lie, is a hoax. And there's no reason for us to be here today. But I'm glad that it did happen. I'm glad that it's not just a proof of history there, but it's the reality that we can have and do have proof of there. Matter of fact, here are some proofs that we have. Do you know that the women are the ones that first witnessed the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? But you know, in their day, women were not even allowed to testify in courts. If this was a hoax, if this was a made-up tale, why would they have chose to use women as witnesses? Why wouldn't they have bolstered the credibility by using men? Ladies, don't get offended with that. That was their day. Why wouldn't they have done that? It doesn't make any sense unless this is actually what happened, and it was. Not only that, but Christians concentrated their attention both in the past there as well as in present day today, not on the cross, but on the tomb. It is the empty tomb that we celebrate. It's on Sunday that we meet because it's the empty tomb that it's all about. Jesus Christ rose from the dead there. That's been the celebration. That's been the concentration all of these years there. You know, I have a cross in my office hanging up. I like a cross that looks something like this right here. I don't like a cross, and I hope you're not offended, but I don't like a cross that has Jesus Christ on it. You know why? Because He's not there anymore. He came off of the cross there, not because He didn't want to pay for it, as the song was talking about there. He paid for it all. But when they took Him off of the cross there and laid Him in a tomb, the cross is empty now. And it's the tomb that's empty now, because we have a Savior that is risen, that's alive forevermore, that accomplished everything that was necessary there on that cross and through that tomb. And so we have there such a great proof there of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fact that it was a concentration not on the cross but on the tomb itself there, what was accomplished. The resurrection was and is a completion of the gospel truth. But let me tell you something about the gospel truth. The gospel includes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel means the good news. But the gospel is only good news if, number one, it's believed. And I'm not talking about here just a factual belief, as I'll say in a moment here, with your head there of the facts. But you need to hear, to understand, and to believe that it is true, number one. And the gospel, the good news, is only good news if it is received. Don't reject or even neglect receiving the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel, the good news, is only good news if it gets to the lost in time. Christians, we have a responsibility to tell the truth, the good news of the gospel, to others that need to hear. There's coming a day, it may be at their death, here shortly, that they won't have another chance. And so it needs to get there in time. Not only do we see that these proofs of the women, that were the testimonies, the concentration there on the tomb more than the cross, but also it was seen alive after His resurrection by many different people. And in 1 Corinthians 15 says, at one point there was over 500 people that saw Him at one time. Now let me ask you a question. How could 500 people get it all wrong in the same way? And the answer is, they can't. That was the truth of what happened. And they told it. There was no discrepancies there in their testimony. The reality is that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead there. And because of His victory over sin and over death there, we can experience forgiveness and eternal life in our lives as well. He is risen. Those last words change the world forever, and it can change your life as well. Some, unfortunately, still miss the gospel truth. The tragedy of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection is that so many that were right there, so close, still didn't get it. And it's fearful to me this morning to think that in a crowd such as this that have come together on an Easter Sunday morning to celebrate the resurrection of the Jesus Christ, that it's possible that someone could come and be so close to the truth of all that's being shared and walk out and still not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The gift of Easter is seen in several passages. These are familiar. First, it's seen in John 3:16. The love of God the Father. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, should not die and go to hell and torment there, but have everlasting life. That's part of that gospel message. God the Father's love. But not just His, but in John 15 and verse 13, we're told of Jesus' love Himself for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ laid down His life there on Calvary. He did it willingly. As the song said, you know, He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have come off of that cross Himself. But He did it willingly for the purpose of taking our place and paying for our sin. Romans 5:8 says that God commended, He demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a demonstration of great love. And then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's what I deserve. Death, not just physical death, but separation from God the Father. And it would take me all of eternity future to be in that suffering of hell and the lake of fire to pay for that. But Jesus Christ went to the cross and He paid the penalty in full. It is finished. So how does one receive this great Easter gift? Well, the answer, I believe, is simply found in John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. We have given to us there two things that it includes: believing on His name and receiving Him. What does it mean to believe on His name? Well, I said a little bit about it just a minute ago. Let me tell you what it does not mean. Believe on His name does not mean that you believe that He existed. Does not mean that you just believe that He was crucified and rose again as a fact of history. That is a head knowledge of what took place. A head knowledge of that is not what saves a person. We've got to believe, though, who He was. He is God the Son. We believe what He did. He died there as our substitute to pay completely my sin debt and yours, and to be buried and to rise again in victory. That's what He did. And so when we believe, we need to believe who He is. We need to believe what He did and why, because we had a need, a sin debt. And then we need to believe it is a genuine offer that He makes to us. Because the Scripture tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means you. That means anyone. It doesn't matter how long that they have sinned or how much they have sinned or what sins they have committed. It doesn't matter anything like that. God says, whosoever that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that calling upon the name of the Lord then includes You believe who He is. You believe what He did. You believe it's a genuine offer. And you call. You make the choice to receive Him. And that's the second part of that verse. But has anyone received Him? See, it's a choice. It's a one-time decision that you make, saying, I know and realize that I'm a sinner. I know that God must punish my sin by sending me to hell for all eternity because He is a holy and just God. I believe that Jesus, because God is a loving God, that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, who died in my place there and was buried and rose again the third day, that I could have my sins forgiven. And right now I make that choice to receive what He did as my payment of sin. When we do that, immediately our sins are taken away as far as the east is from the west. We are forgiven completely. We are given the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit of God that comes within us. We have a new nature that is given to us. We are given all of these things, and God begins to start a transformation work in our life. That's what happens when we make that choice. But it's a one-time decision. I've met people before, and I've asked them, have you ever made a decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And here's what they say. Well, I've done that many times. I do that most every year. You know what my thought is right there? I'm sorry, but I think you totally misunderstand what I'm talking about. If I ask you, did you make a choice to get married to your wife? Would you say, oh yes, I've made that choice many times. We get married every year. Marriage is a relationship. You know why God wants that relationship to be a lifetime? Because it pictures the relationship we have with God. Jesus Christ in Scripture is called the bridegroom, and we, the Christians here in the church age, are called the bride of Christ. And there can never be a losing or a separation of that relationship. And that's why God wants marriage to be such an important relationship here on this world. It pictures that He wants. And so, when you make a choice to receive Jesus Christ, it is a one-time choice. And that one-time genuine choice then will have evidences that follow. Because that one-time genuine choice brings the Holy Spirit into our life, gives us a new nature there. Our sins are forgiven, yes. But He begins that transformation work in our life. And God begins to make us more like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't see those evidences in our life, we have reason to question the genuineness of our salvation relationship. And that's why it's important to say, have I truly made a decision? The decision to choose the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? Or have I just been with head knowledge believing that He lived, that He died, that He rose again, but it really has not been a relationship with me? That's where we have to determine. Let me tell you, what a sad estate to some come so close and miss the Easter gift that God wants for you today. I hope that you have not missed that gift. And if you have any question on it, we'll be glad to speak to you as the service ends here. Easter is a time to remember who came and why He came. But it's also to make sure that you have received Him as your Savior. Christian, it's also a time to lift up your risen Lord, today and always. Hallelujah! What a Savior we serve. Every head bow, please. In just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And as we do that, we're going to ask you to respond. If you need to speak to someone about salvation today, don't put it off any longer. If you have any doubt whatsoever, any question whatsoever, if to know that you're saved. If you can't say with me, I know without any doubt I am saved. If you can't say that, why not make sure of that today? Let one of us take you aside and show you how you can have confidence that you have received God's Easter gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and risen for your sins. Father, I pray that we would search our hearts and make sure that we know the risen Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.